You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reformed book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent use of sarcasm may occur.
We are super excited to be joined today by the amazing, the awesome, the spectacular Tia Louise. So you guys know us as the Stalker Sisters, and if you are not familiar with Tia Louise, please introduce yourself.
I am a romance author. I'll be celebrating my 10th year as a romance author in October. Yes. Mostly spicy romance. My first series was military. It was like an 8-book military romance series, but it was set in a small town on the coast. And so it had elements of romantic suspense. Like, each book was a different couple, but then as the 8-book series went along, I revisited a couple of couples because they kind of had a story that kept going. Anyway, it's the One to Hold series. So that was my first big series. So that kind of launched me into this small town military, a little romantic suspense. That one probably has a little more of a crime element because the hero is a private investigator and there's some things going around on around the female main character that has to be handled. Anyway, it gets very exciting. But so that kind of launched, kicked everything off. And I've kind of veered around a little bit. I've been done a bad job of staying in my lane, but I'm doing much better now. So most of my books you will find are military, small town, single parent, single mom, single dad, both. I do love to throw in a little light suspense every now and then. So not every book has the suspense element in it, but I usually like to throw it in. My books are not dark. They're very sexy. I think there are a lot of peppers. I mean, it kind of goes by the couple. I let the couple guide me. You know, if it's a peppery couple, then it'll get really peppery. But if it's kind of more of a, you know, it just depends on the couple. So it's very romantic, very sensual. I'll say, wow, that was some 5 pepper one. And then I'll get a reviewer be like, 3 peppers. And so I don't know. It's your pepper call. You call the peppers.
And then there's, you have to wonder, what are they reading? Like, if
I know,
this,
right?
if they're
right?
Reading this green peppers, so, and I'm like,
I don't know what to say. Right. I know. And people are like, so here's the thing. If Sierra Simone's Priest is your 5 peppers, I have a couple like that, but my pepper zone is usually 3 to 4 peppers. So I have a few that are up there, but mostly kind of in the mid pepper range.
I'm here for it. I'm here for
me. Yeah. You can learn more about my books at tialouise.com/books. That's easy, huh? So, and the cool thing about that is if you go into one of my books pages, I love my web designer set this up. I have like the sub genre, the tropes, hot unit, what's it called? Linked. And so like you can click on military romance and it'll take you to a page with all of my books that are military romance, or if you want, you know, single dad, all single dad, nanny. So nice. It's really cool. So that is the coolest thing ever. I discovered that the other day and I was like, oh, that does, they're all together. Anyway, yeah. I discovered how my own website works.
Don't you love when you go to something that's yours and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool.
I know. Like, and I was like, you know, I looked at it and I was like, this is beautiful. I love it. And then just got back to writing, you know, because I think I was in the middle of writing a book. And then when I was updating and I was like adding, because I was looking at the page where, you know, inside the guts where you put all the information in. And then I saw like subgenres and I was like clicking them. And then when I went and hit, I saw they were all hyperlinked and I was like, huh? And so then I was like, oh my God. And so then I'm like trying to tell everybody and they're like, what are you talking? Why don't they? Anyway, but that's so cool. Because no, I'm always at that. Yeah.
I love it when authors do that because it's like, if I'm looking for something specific or if there are certain things I don't like, it's like, okay, well, this is really heavy on the angst. So, you know, right. It's the brother's best friend and the fake relationship and those tend to be a little bit more high angst versus ones that are, you know, maybe not. So like the second chance or things like that. So
right.
I love that you can do that. Plus, if I'm starting with a brand new author and I can go to their website and see, okay, this is what they write. This is a series, but I kind of like these tropes. So if they're standalones, I'll start with standalones because I may not have time to get invested right away in an 8-book series, But I want to read an author. So I'm like, okay, cool. That's a standalone. Of course, then I read the standalone. I love the author. And then I binge read their entire backlist. But
Which is a good
this
thing,
is fun
and which you
too.
should always do.
I have gone down
Always
so
do
many
that.
Author rabbit holes because I'm like, oh, look, a standalone. I'll read this standalone novella. 3 months later, their entire backlist is check, 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 check.
That's
check.
Awesome.
I
yeah, and that's that is what I do. My books are usually like for instance, my current series, as you know, is Brothers, and so each book is that brother's romance and his, and so then the next book is the next brother. So they are standalones in that way, but they're all in the same town. And obviously, since they're brothers, they're going to be in each other's books because they're
right.
family. But they're standalone romances. So you know, that's kind of how I've always done it. I don't think I've ever. I maybe once I wrote a true, actually, The Prince and the Player, Prince, Player, Dealer, Thief. The first two books in that series are a true, like, 1-2, because that was all I was going to write, were those two books, and they were a duet. And and then people really liked it, so I wrote two more. And, like, one is one of the bodyguards, and then another one goes back. Anyway, but I typically don't really write super tied series where you have to read every book in order, or you don't know what's happening. So I don't know. I don't do that.
I love a good interconnected standalone because
yes,
that means I can read just that book. But then it's like, oh, I want this one's story and I want that one's story. And then, you know, you have little jump offs to different series and interconnected that way. So I'm here for
it's
that.
It's crazy. I know. And when I think I'm done, I'm constantly getting messages being like, write so-and-so, write so-and-so, write so-and-so. And it's like, sometimes I'll be like, okay, because I'll like have like I'll be like, you know, that character is actually talking to me and I can see a story for them. And then sometimes I'm just like, y'all, I don't know if it's my brain or what, but I'm just not getting anything for that person. You know, it's like I just like I have that boss of me, wait for me, here with me in Reckless Kiss, that series. And everybody after reading Boss of Me, everybody was like wanted this one character's Marley's romance. They were like, are you gonna write his story? Are you gonna write his story? And I was kind of like, well, the truth is in my original outline for that book, I was gonna have him die. But I pulled back from that. I pulled back from that because I was like, as I was writing, I was like, oh no, that's just gonna be way too dark and too much of a downer. And I don't really, I was like, I don't see them recovering from that. Like the hero, it's a military, and all the heroes in that series were like together in the military, and they had this incident that happened that's just kind of binds them all together. And he was the character that got kidnapped that they had to rescue. And so he's very tortured, and he was tortured. And so he has like all of these like problems. And so I was like, we'll just, you know, this is going to happen. And then when I got there, I was like, oh no, I can't do that. I was like, that's just going to be too much. That's going to be way too much for everybody. And I could just not see the hero getting over it. And I was like, as much as he loves our female main character, he's going to go to a dark place. And I don't know how I'm going to get back from it. So I just decided that he's not going to die. He's just going to have this bad incident and he's going to be okay though. And so at the end, you know, he's
thank you for that.
Oh, okay, so you read it. But anyway, so
I
yeah.
Know, I have it, but that's kind
okay.
of one of those things.
I know,
where
right?
Like...
Sometimes I get these grand ideas, and then when I actually get in there and do it, I'm like, oh God, that's the dumbest idea ever. And so I like don't do it. But yeah, and I don't
now write... I know where I'm going next. After
yeah, well, and I don't
I know which series
write...
I'm gonna do.
Yeah, I try not to kill characters, you know. I mean, I'm trying to think if I ever unless they're really bad and they need to
well,
be
yes.
killed. Yes, I'll kill those people. But I mean, like somebody who's like in the group, who's a friend, I don't do that just because, I mean, I don't know, I haven't done it yet. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. But, I don't write really dark stuff. But anyway, so, or stuff like that, you know, where it's very just like, ooh. But anyway, so I came back and now everybody's like, write his story. And I'm like, you don't understand. He's dead to me. I'm like, he is
You've
dead
moved
to
on.
Me. No, I'm kidding. He's not. But I'm just like, well, I hadn't really planned for like I didn't, you know, so anyway, so people are begging, well, not anymore, but you know, that's been a couple of series ago. But I'll always get these like messages, are you gonna write his story? And I'm like, well, did you read the epilogue? Because he kind of got his HEA if he read the epilogue and he's done, the end for him. But
and
anyway, I guess
that's
I can,
enough.
He was just really messed up, you know what I mean? And writing his story would be off brand, I feel like, for me, because he has a lot of problems. And I think that would be kind of, it would be darker than I typically like to go, because he has drugs, drug problems, and he does a lot of things. And anyway, that book is a lot about the hero kind of keeping up with him and trying to feeling responsible, because he was the head of their unit. He was in charge, and then he got kidnapped on his watch, and then he led the rescue. And so he feels very responsible for this character. And so he's like kind of, so a big part of his problem is not being able to let this guy go. Anyway, I've gotten sidetracked, but anyway.
I told you, no rails.
I know, right?
There's no rails here. We just try to go with the flow.
Right. But that said, yes. So they're all, and I typically know how long a series is going to be, but sometimes if readers are begging for a story and I can think of one, I'll give it to them, you know, if something comes to me. So,
I love that part of being an author though, like with the authors I work with like, this person wasn't supposed to get a book, but they're so loud in my brain that they're getting a book.
Right.
And that's happened with three different authors that I edit so far, where they're like, I have to write this character story now. They weren't supposed to have one, but they won't shut up. So now they're getting their own book. And then there are other characters that just, it's like crickets. Like they're supposed to get a book, but if they don't start talking soon, then they're not getting their book. Or it's like, okay, they have to wait for whatever, because they'll write three more books and then come back because they finally start talking. But, you know, that's one of the amazing things with being, I think, with talking to different authors and hearing from different authors, is the process that you go through of how you choose who you write, when you write it, why you write it, why certain characters never get a story, and why certain characters do. So I think that's pretty cool.
You can never really predict it either. Like sometimes I'll be writing and I don't even think, like I'll have a throwaway character who I'm not even thinking about. And then they turn into somebody who's like, write me. And it's like, oh, okay. So, all right.
Your story.
Yeah. Okay.
You know. I love it. So now that Susie's joined us, we're going to do a quick little round thing here of how we found you, what we've read, and then going right into talking about Taste and Twist, which are the newest ones. That's the newest series, which I think we've all read, and I
absolutely love it.
But so we always talk about how we found an author, and normally they always blame me. And this time y'all can, not all of you anyway. But Ron, how did you find Tia originally? We were talking about this a little bit online earlier too.
Yeah, we were talking about it, and I kind of feel like I've always known her. You know, she just kind of just has always been a part of my reading. So I dug and I dug back through, and it's not in my Ron Persona Kindle account. And I'm like, that doesn't seem out. I know I read something before that. So I went back through my private account, and I think I found her in the One to Hold series 10 years ago.
I was going to say, that was the one.
So I really, really have known her forever.
That was the big first series. So that kind of locked me into the military zone. Yeah, because people loved that series. I did too. It was hard to let it go. At the end there, after book 8, I was like, my husband was even like, they didn't never got married. And he'd be like, these characters never got married. And I'm like, are you serious? I was like, do you think I should keep going? I'm like, 8 books, how many am I gonna write? I'm like, nobody's gonna jump in an 8 book series. I mean, I just felt like, I mean, I guess I could maybe revisit it, but I just felt like it had gotten so big that I was like, I need to start something more manageable.
Does your husband read all of your books?
He does. Well, in the beginning, he was like my first editor, because I was kind of undercover, and I had been writing YA, and so I was undercover writing women's romance, and so I'd launched a new pen name because I didn't want to cross those streams and stuff, and so it's kind of just like, we'll see how this goes, and if it doesn't do any well, no harm, no foul, just let it go. And so he read the first, and he's the meanest editor. Oh my God. I used to get in so many fights because he would be like, he would write comments like, why did you do this? Why did I do this? What? And then he circled a paragraph one time and wrote something like, this makes no something. What was the word? Sense. He was like, this makes no, some fancy word, English lawyer word, sense. And I'm like, you're so mean. And he would never give like a compliment. Nothing was ever good. It was always bad. It was bad, bad, bad. Like if he read something he liked, he wouldn't say anything about it. Like when you're an editor, you're supposed to say, I loved this. I thought you did great on this. This needs some work, right? You two compliments and a criticism. That's how you do it. That's how you not rush, destroy somebody's spirit. Oh my God, he was so mean. He would give me this legal pad full of notes and his handwriting is not that good. So it was like very angry looking scrawl. And I'd be like, I wouldn't even talk to him. I'd just be like, go away. I am so mad at you right now. He's like, what? He's like, what did I do? What did I do? You know, and I'd be like, look at this note. And he was like, well, that is kind of harsh, isn't it? I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, oh, did I do anything right in this book? And he'd be like, well, yeah, I really liked, you know, and he'd tell me certain things. But one time he's just a mess. Anyway, he was funny. So, yes, he still reads all my books to even though I have like proofreaders and editors and everybody else. He's still like the last, I think it was 2 books ago, I didn't know if he had time because he was working on a case and stuff. And I didn't know if he'd have time. And I was like, and I just was going with it. And he goes, you're not gonna let me read it? And I was like, yeah. I was like, of course I'll let you read it. I was like, I didn't know if you wanted to. I read all like number 38 or something. I'm like, you're still in, you want to read it? He's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah, of course you can read it.
I love that.
He right? felt left right. out because he didn't.
I know. He was like, you didn't want me to read your book. He's like, what did you write? He's like, what did you write? I'm like, well, you see, there's a main character named his name and murdered them. No, I'm kidding. I didn't. I got seriously poisoned.
Oh my God.
I'm just teasing.
Julie, how did you find Tia?
Oh, well, funny. I think it was Hutch Winston.
Yes, girl.
It was the cover. It drew me in. And then I read the blurb. And
that was my last series. Fearless, Filthy. Yes, those were bodyguards. Those were military bodyguard. That was a little closer to the One to Hold series. I kind of thought I want to kind of go back and, but it was a little darker than One to Hold. One to Hold doesn't. Well, maybe in one book. Yeah. Okay. So those books were a little darker than the One to Hold series. The One to Hold series didn't get really, and those are not that dark. Don't get confused. I know Julie Wright. I'm trying to clear up for the readers. This is not really dark. We're not talking like hands getting cut off and end up in a box on your front porch. Nothing like that. But just more like drugs and people getting murdered and like not main characters. I already said I'm not killing any friends. Well, you know what I mean. Anyway, go ahead, Julie. I need to stop. Go, Julie.
Wow, that was it. I just, you know, I run a group and it's all about protectors and bodyguards is one of them, and you know I'm like, okay, well I'll read this, and then I've pretty much read everything after.
Nice. How many peppers
and that?
I thought it was a lot of peppers, didn't you?
I am not great at remembering all those little details. I'm gonna say a 4.
Yeah, I gave it a lot of peppers. Some people were like 3 peppers. I'm like, really?
I think fearless is 4. But I think Filthy is 5.
And Forbidden?
With a name like
in
Filthy.
Oh my God. Okay.
Right. Susie, what about you? Susie, how'd you find Tia?
Michelle.
How did I get involved in this one this time?
You're the one that threw Fearless in my face when it came out.
Susie's like, peer pressure.
You know what? I'm a shameless enabler. I am not going to deny that I will push books from authors I love in everybody's face, and I'm not going to stop. So there.
I will allow it.
I actually found you, and it was kind of like all at the same time. Julie posted about, it was one of those books, and it was right around the same time as Indies last year.
Oh, yeah.
And Philly. I met in Philly, and Ron and Avery were like, have you met Tia? You have to meet Tia. And I was like, oh, I know that name, because Julie read a book and she said, you have to read this. And I was like, okay. So that's actually how when I met you was Philly's last year, Indies Invade Philly last year, and started reading things. And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. Look, let's flip. We're going to just keep reading everything, because I'm one of those readers where it's like, okay, I'm drawn to books and I'm drawn to tropes, but if I connect with a person, with the reader, with as a writer, if I connect with that, okay, as a reader, if I connect with that writer as a person, I'm going to read everything, because
awesome. Yeah,
I just love to support people that I like. It's aww. So much easier thank than you. Supporting people I don't. And right when I find someone I like, I'm like, oh, you're a writer, and I really like that story. So, okay, I'm going to now read everything, and I'm going to stalk you on social media, and I'm going to bug you to do a podcast. So hey! Thanks for doing this.
No, it's totally great. I love
so
it.
I don't think Taste and Twist was the first, especially Twist was not the first book that any of us read. We'd all read your books before then. I think A Little Taste was the first book I read, and I think I'm wrong on that. I think there was another one, and now I cannot remember which one it was, but I'm going to go with Taste for now.
Okay.
Julie, what was the first one you read?
I think it was Fearless.
Was it?
Yeah.
Susie, what about you? And Ron, you said from the
and
beginning.
And I'm an old timer right from the beginning.
Wonderful.
And I think I read it. I think I read the paperback.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm doing a big celebration the weekend of October 5th, 13, 14, 15 for it. So be sure to check that out.
You can absolutely
be sure to keep your eyes open for that, everybody.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put that up and we'll post about that too, because I love following things.
Well,
like
it's
that.
The anniversary. So I figured I should do yay. Something, right?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I mean, do we have favorite books? I mean, I know all of y'all, your favorite books are all filthy, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That one I knew was going to be very angsty, and it was awesome, and I loved it because those two characters were so like wounded and had so much to overcome.
And that cover was just that cover, awesome. Yeah.
And that cover is hot.
Both versions of that whole series, the alternate covers for that series are stunning and
thank you.
Just absolutely gorgeous. And the not alternate covers are hot. So I almost want both copies. I want copies of both because
I've done that. I've bought when someone else has covers that I love, I will buy both covers because I can't not have them both.
My original plan there was not to do model covers in the paperbacks. I was only going to do paperbacks in the special edition cover. That's all. And I got talked out of that. And so, because I have readers who are like, I want my men. And I'm like, okay, because it's no sweat off my back. I mean, I put them up on Amazon and it's just the inside's the same. It's just two different covers. You know, I already have the, anyway. So I was like, really? Okay. I was like, done. That's easy. And so, but yeah, it initially was just going to do those pretty gorgeous, you know, discreet, wow. I guess, special edition covers. And that's the first time, actually lied, that's the second time I had never done special edition covers until we did that Bayside Heroes, that series that I was in with Candy Steiner and Harlow Ray. Mm-hmm. Those, and Candy designed all those covers. She designs her own covers. She's her own cover designer. And so she had designed all those covers, and then she wanted to do special editions and hardbacks and all that. And I was like, okay. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm just along for the ride. So I was like, yeah. So she designed them all and did them all. And I liked the special edition covers of that series so much. That's the one with the Ferris wheel, Tangled Up, is that book, Tangled Up. And I was like, wow, that was really nice. Cause I felt like that's a scene in the book that we kind of pulled out and did that with. And I really loved it. So I was like, oh, I'm doing that now. So I just, that kind of kicked it all off. So, you know, now I did.
Janice did a cool thing with her one of her releases where she did book jackets. So she did like the one cover, and then you could get the book jacket. And I'm like, ooh, there's a swag. That's a swag idea.
I love that.
Here's the discreet cover. If you want the man cover, you got to come see me.
Yes. That,
I still am kind of investigating how to do all that stuff. You know, I just got back from NINC, which is Novelists Inc. It's like a industry conference where everybody gets together and tells all the cool stuff they're doing. And I'm telling you, I just came back with my brain just exploding with ideas. But one of them is kind of getting more into, like, I'm going to try to do hardcovers more because I've never done a hardcover before. And it's mostly because I just didn't know how, and I didn't have time to investigate. But apparently, according to my paperback formatter, they're not that hard. So it's mainly just finding a cover designer. I mean, I have my cover designer, but just I'm letting the cat out of the bag for my surprise, but like finding someone to do it. And so I found like somebody who'll print it, because the dust jackets, Amazon doesn't do that. Like they'll do a hardcover for you, but the dust jacket is another step. And so I found at Nink last week, someone who does that. So, nice. So the wheels are turning. I'm figuring this out. I'm very excited. So I'll be able to have more fancy stuff like that for folks. So I'm very excited.
As a reader who loves to have all the covers, mm-hmm. It's nice to have one book with two covers, because shelf space is really precious and I don't want to put anybody in a box. Right. So when I saw those with the covers on them, the jackets, I was like, that's very cool.
Oh, because it's two books in one kind of basically. Yeah. Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that.
And the thing that I thought was brilliant about it, we are really off subject, by the way.
That's okay.
No rails.
But it is so daggone expensive to ship to the UK. And if you have a dust jacket, you can sign it. Mm-hmm. They can purchase their own book. And, you know.
That is so smart. It is. Yep. That is so smart. I don't even think about that. That's brilliant, Julie. Thank you for that hot tip.
Yeah.
And for UK authors.
Get my notebook out.
Too.
Starts taking notes. Julie is
Julie is a wealth of information.
Invites Julie to Nink next year. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I'm serious.
Write a book really quick. No, I'm kidding.
Julie needs to run her own little workshop on all these little tips and tricks that she's learned, because she's like a super wealth of information.
No, that is absolutely so smart. I love that.
I always feel bad for people in other countries. I get why authors can't ship. It's just stupid expensive. It's
ridiculous.
Right. But this way they get a piece of you, but they, you know, it's a whole lot less expensive.
If it's, you know, I'll ship somebody a book from their Amazon. It's nice that Amazon has locations in all these places, like Australia, for instance. So I can like ship somebody a paperback from the Amazon Australia store, and it's not that expensive. Of course, it's not signed, but then, you know, I have like the little swag that I will sign. Of course, mm-hmm. This is not signed because I'm using it as an example, but like I'll like have like a book plate and then I'll sign it and I'll mail it to them, because an international stamp is not, you know, $50 like mailing a book is. Mm-hmm. But so that I try to do that, and that kind of makes up for it a little bit, but I know it's not the same, but I like that. I like that dust jacket idea. That's a cool idea. So I like that. I like that a lot.
And even as a domestic US reader, I love getting things from authors that are relevant to the book, but not necessarily the book. You know, I love getting books. Don't get me wrong. I get signed books in the mail. I do a happy dance. I love it. I am such a book whore. But I love getting little things like the postcards and stickers and magnets and coasters. My husband's like, what are you going to do with the coaster? And I'm like, watch. And I have them on my shelf and they're just kind of lined up.
Yeah.
And it's a neat little something that's relevant to the book that adds a little extra flair to it. And I'm like, I love getting little swag packs like that. They make me very happy.
Yep.
So not turning down anything like that. In fact, I have yours up on my shelf, because I had gotten a little swag pack from you with postcards and some stickers. And I was like, my husband was like,
I know.
What's wrong with you? And I'm like, this is so cool.
And with my daughter doing all those illustrations, I made her, you know, make cute little illustrated postcards and stuff.
I love those.
I know. I love that she's doing that now. You know, when she was home this summer, she got slammed, but it was fun. It was fun how she was able to do all that stuff for the different books. I loved it. Anyway.
Well, and it's something special and unique. And for people who don't have all the room to put up all these bookshelves, you can put them in binders and you can put them in shadow boxes and you can display them, cork boards. Exactly. And it's a neat way to connect with the story you loved and the characters you loved and the author you love without, you know, all that space. Because I know not everybody has. I'm slowly taking over my husband's side of the office with the. I need
another bookshelf. I don't know if you can see how exploding my bookshelf is back here. And we have walls of bookshelves in the living room, and then I've got bookshelves in the basement. And I'm like, I hate putting books in the basement. I hate it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm like, I need another bookshelf. I'm like running out of room. But I hear you. That all that to say, I feel your pain.
I need a library with one of those ladders that, you know, a rolling ladder.
I know. I love it.
Love that. We are way off track. Okay.
Quotes.
we'll be like Belle. Oh, what does she do? She gets on the ladder and does her little spin.
Yes. We were originally the plan originally was to get to talk about Twist.
Yes.
A little Twist, little Twist is the new one. But I love that we're talking about everything. But A Little Twist is the new one. And it's the second one in the series. Yes. And I know we all pulled some quotes, and I know a great way to get people to kind of dive into a book sometimes is they'll hear something that resonates with them. So we pulled a ton of quotes.
Whoa.
And we're not going to read all of them because I was going to say we have self-control. No, we don't. Who am I kidding? But we're going to read a couple of them. So, all right, ladies, Docker sisters, pick a quote. I know we have like each have four of them. Pick a quote. And we're each going to read one quote, and I'm going to go first because I picked a bunch, but this one I keep coming back to because it resonated with me on a level, not because of the main characters, but we what I like to call a main character that's like a minor main character, main minor character. I don't know. it's Pinky.
Oh, the little girl. Yeah, I was like, gosh, I have no idea what's coming.
Yes, so it's about Pinky, and it resonated with me because this is kind of how we raised our spawns, and the quote is, she's also 4 years old in a town where no one has ever told her what she couldn't do, and I read that line, and I went, I told all my friends, I was like, the first person who clues my kids in about what gravity is, you're dead to me. Don't. Let them think that they can do whatever they want to. And I loved the way you developed the character of Pinky as her own character, but a character that was so instrumental in the story of the two main characters. And at the same time, she had this beautiful light around her. And it was because of how she was raised, not just by her dad, but by her community.
Yeah.
And that resonated so strongly with me because I saw so much of my spawns.
Pinky,
I was like, oh, I love this little one. So that for me was the one that really got me.
Aww.
All right, who's next? Julie, you're up.
Okay.
Roll call.
Yep.
It's tough. You didn't tell us we could only do one.
Oh,
if we have time, we'll come back. If we have time, we'll circle back around.
He was so annoying. He didn't like kissing with his tongue. He hated the sound of chewing. If he didn't like tongue kissing, I'm guessing he didn't like other tongue things.
Just saying, you know.
Come on. You gotta like tongue things.
I love that.
Right. Is a hero who doesn't like tongue things even a hero?
No. Not at all.
Drake is such a douche. No, I'm kidding.
Susie?
I actually had that line in my head before I even started writing him. I was like, he's the worst. How can I just make him even worse than what he already is? Like, I had a picture of him in my head of what he looked like. And then I was like, yeah, but this isn't a movie. Okay, I can't cast him. So I was like, I've got to like give personality things about him that just makes him so gross. And he's so arrogant. And he's so bleh.
And well, and that's what's so funny.
Yeah.
Out of all the quotes, they're all funny. I don't know. I must have been in a funny mode.
Clarification, in case anybody's like, what? That's the douchey ex. That's her douche we're talking
not the hero.
About.
Not
but I like, yeah.
And he plays a pretty major role in the story as far as...
He's a plot driver.
Together. He's a plot driver, exactly. And painting that picture of him as just this, ew. It works. It works really well.
So full of himself.
Susie.
You're everything to me. You're the wind and the sea when I'm the rocks and the sand. You're the calm, the soothing. You quiet the storm and make me whole. You're the song in my head I never want to stop hearing. You're beautiful and smart and kind. You're priceless.
I know everybody's like...
That happy ones always resonate to me for some reason.
You're a hopeless romantic.
Yeah.
I
love
it.
Awesome.
I love that.
Ron?
I'm trying to decide which one.
I know.
So I'm going to do the long one because I liked it. Your first is always special. Not always. Her eyes slide away from mine, and I don't like the sound of that. I'm surprised by my desire to beat the crap out of any man who didn't treat her with the respect and the reverence she deserves. In what way was it not special? My tone reflects my irritation, and her eyebrows rise. She rolls to her side, facing me, and a little smile curls her lip. You're the first time I haven't faked an orgasm, at least once. Shaking her head, she looks down at her hand resting on the duvet, usually more than once.
With old douche canoe, you know.
Exactly.
It was all about himself, and everything you put into that character everything. Showed he was all about himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Terrible. He's the worst.
He was, and I love that you used him as the plot driver and that he was present, because a lot of times the plot drivers are not. It's like something in the past and it's something that moves forward, but he was a pretty significant part of the story. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of, when you left the end of the story, he's not done, is he?
Yeah. No, he'll be back. He's the worst. He's coming back. But don't worry. We'll deal with him in the next book. Well, he's just determined. You know, he sees this community that's got right near the beach that has to have this huge resort on it. I mean, he's a developer, so he's kind of got to be in his bonnet. So in the next book, it's going to be a little funnier, but everybody was like, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to spoil anything, but everybody was like really wanting a certain thing to happen to him in this book. And I was like, well, that situation, the opportunity never actually presented itself. I mean, I know there was that one scene where he shows up uninvited, but I was like, Alex ain't going to do that in front of his kids, in front mm-hmm. of all the children. He's not going to do that. Yep. He's way too controlled and very, you know, he's always got his hands on everything. He'd like to, but he's not going to do that. he's not gonna make a scene in front of all the children, but
when there's no children present,
anyway, but
I'm jumping around in the questions a little bit just because you just said that, but this is a small beach town.
Yes.
And is Eureka a brand new town for this series?
Yeah, I just made that up. I mean, I imagined it. I kind of looked at the map so I could kind of get an idea in my head of where to put it. But then I just made up the name. I don't know if I've ever used the actual name for a place. Oh, I think I did in Trouble. In Trouble, I had them in Columbia or something. And and so I was like, I can't believe you knew about this and that and this and that. And I was like, Google. But the thing is, like, if you haven't ever been to a place, you know how it is. There are going to be things, and Google can't always get it right. And so, and it leaves things out, you know. So if you're not from there and you put it there and they're all natives of this place, there are going to be things that natives know about their hometown, that especially if it's a small town. I mean, everybody knows everything about a small town, right? Mm-hmm. So, and so I was like, you know, I kind of got myself there once, and I was like, and I was doing all this research. So I'm like, why did I do this? Because, you know, then I'm like, you know, an insider's guide, like I'm Googling an insider's guide, and they still don't include everything.
Yep.
You know? And so I was like, okay, from now on, all fictitious locations, but they're fictitious locations in real places. So they, you know, so they're kind of based on a place, but it's fictitious. So that way, if it's like, well, that's not in X place, I'm like, well, it's not X place. It's my,
right. It's my place.
My place. I made up.
Yes.
So what's your draw? Because a lot of it happened in that, like the Grand Strand, that Hilton Head area.
Well, I'll tell you, the one to hold series is all set in that area. That was my first big series, you know. And one of my friends who was reading it was like, you know, oh, it's because of Dawson's Creek, right? And I was like, whoop! And I was like, no. I was like, I didn't ever really watch that show. It was kind of I was a little ahead of that show. So it was coming on when I was in college, and I wasn't watching TV in college. And I was out drinking. No, I'm kidding. But, right? But anyway, so I was like, oh, really? I was like, no, I lived for about 7 years in a small town near the coast in South Alabama, and I loved it. And it was crammed full of characters. And I, in my former life, I was a journalist. And so I was writing for the newspaper there, because this was back when people still got newspapers. And I did a lot of features on, like, you know, I did a recurring, well, it was me and two other people, but we did like these recurring kind of get to know this person, and people could nominate different people. And so I was getting to know all these hilarious, awesome, great people. And it's just, I just kind of got, you know, it gave me this whole feel for the whole area and just really got to know the area. And just being right there on the coast, it's really pretty. And so I loved it. I loved that so much. And so I just kind of, it was a way to revisit that, you know, kind of setup. And so, since I put that there, I was like, well, I'll just stay in that area, 'cause I'd already kind of been doing research in that area for that series. And so I felt like I kind of knew the area. So I just kind of stayed in that, you know, and just started making up fake places. And I'll tell you what is so great, because I'm planning to do a next gen series next, whenever I finish this one, I'm going to do a next gen with the kids, you know, grown up. And it's so great because they're all so close together that it's very likely that they would cross paths either through sports or, you know, 'cause you know how it is, the high schools and all always intersect, and they all go to the same college, you know, 'cause there's only usually a couple of colleges that everybody goes to, unless, you know, they go away to college, which they could. But I only have a few series that are not like the Fight for Love series, which is Boss and Me, Wait for Me, those books. And Boss and Me is set in Nashville, and Wait for Me and Here with Me are both set in Louisiana on a peach farm where my husband, near where my husband grew up, because that was at his request. He was like, because I was thinking, I was like, where am I going to set this? And he was like, why don't you set it at this peach farm that's there, but I changed the name. And so that's, you know, but I'm like, I have an idea of how I can get Dove to where they all are anyway, 'cause she go to college there, you know, right? Kids do that all the time. They'll be like, I want to go to, you know, whatever college, you know, 'cause it's on the coast and she's landlocked in North Louisiana. So, you know, so anyway, so I kind of have, but other than that, they're all kind of right there together, and they can, you know, I don't know if you noticed in A Little Taste that I mentioned Fireside as one of the people that they are actually, was in a little twist that Gwen had gotten with the Fireside ladies. And in my books, This Much Is True, Twist of Fate and Trouble, those books, they're set and in the town that they all live in, there's the Fireside Ladies Club, and they were like historical and they documented the town's history, but they also did spells. They also had like a book of spells that they would cast on people, like that they didn't like, or to bring things back or to protect, you know, and they had all these little spells that they did. And so I kind of brought that in with Gwen saying she got with the Fireside ladies. That totally, of course she did, because of course Gwen would do that. So anyway, so I kind of did a little connection there with that. So anyway, so that's fun. So I guess the answer to your question is, I started there, so I just stayed there.
I spend a lot of time on that, the coast between Hilton Head and Myrtle. And
yeah,
it was neat to, you know, because it's like, okay, I'm reading about this and I'm like, God, that sounds like, there's all these tiny little towns, and it's not necessarily your big beach town, but it's adjacent. And
I actually was on a writer's retreat,
you know?
Yeah, I was actually on a writer's retreat in Kiowa. Look at what I have here.
Oh!
I know. I went on a little writer's retreat with some author buds several years ago, and we were all at Kiowa Islands, and it was like about 10 or 12 of us, and we all had a big house, and we spent like 3 or 4 days there writing and, you know, just so I kind of got to be there and see what it was like. So that was fun. So that was cool.
See, times like that are why I like audiobooks, because you have all these little small towns and you're like, how the hell did you say that name? You know, and then you hear it and you're like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. Because otherwise in my brain, I'm just reading it how I see it. Yeah. And I learned from living in New Orleans for 4 years, you don't ever read anything the way you see it.
It's all French. It's all French. So.
It's all Cajun. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like,
Kiowa. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kiowa.
And my audiobook narrator got it wrong, but it was said so many times and I didn't want to
stop
the audiobook. So I guess I could have changed it, but it would have been like, it would have been a lot. And so I was just like, you know what, we're just gonna let it go. I've got more people be like, that is not how you say that word. And I'm like, I know.
Just go with it. Just go with it.
I know. I was like, just let it happen. Just let it happen. You know, we're
this suspension of reality.
Just let it happen. I was like, I know, just pretend they're saying it right. but they were all like, no, I used the Kiowa. And I'm like, I know, but it was so many times. Anyway, it was
just gonna let it go.
And it never occurred to me. It never occurred to me. Like when I sent in that script, I usually have got like everything, and it just totally did not even hit me that that would happen. But anyway, yes, I did that.
And that's one of the neat things about reading. And it's, I always say you could tell if somebody's never heard a word before, if they only know it from reading, when you hear them say it the first time, yeah. You know, and it could be a name or something else. And I always joke with my husband about it. I won't say it because I won't embarrass. I should totally embarrass him. But you can tell when someone's never heard a word said and they've always read it. They know exactly what it means. They know how to use it. And the first time they say it and you're like,
what?
What? The confused dog head tilt. Like,
it's true. Huh? It's true. Yes.
Right. You started to say something.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask Tia, you said that you started out your career in journalism. How do you make that transition from journalism to authoring?
To write books. Yeah. Well, I tell you. So I got my degree in English, and then I went back and got my master's degree in communications. And so, because I wanted to work at the paper, I wanted to be a print journalist. And I loved it. I fell in love with print journalism when I saw All the President's Men, you know, Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman, and it was so much drama. It was so cool. And then there was another movie with, what's his face? Dang it. The original Batman. You know who I'm talking about. Oh, what is his name? Mr. Mom, or
yes.
You know what I'm talking about. Keaton.
Yeah.
That guy.
Michael.
Anyway, Michael Keaton.
Beetlejuice.
Anyway, he was in that movie, The Paper. Remember
yes.
The Paper? That was so fun, oh, right? It just makes it look like, oh. Anyway, so it just looks like all this drama, all this awesome drama, right? And so I was like, that's what I want to do. So I was just like, I could see me just blowing the lid off of stuff and everything. And so what I ended up doing was a lot of business profiles. And I actually wrote for the religion section for a while, which was very fun. I really enjoyed that. And it was like things that churches were doing around town, like raising money and, you know, things like that. And so it's mostly just like, you know, community stuff that I ended up doing, which was fine because I enjoyed it. But I did that, you know, and then my daughters were born and I switched to like stringing. So I was like kind of freelance. And so I was freelance while they were at home so I could be home with them. And honestly, it was in 2009, and I just thought, you know, I had read Twilight, and I thought, you know, I bet, because I kind of had that idea, I had a book in me, and I was like, I'd love to tell a story, and so I just kind of at night, I just kind of started writing, like, I would go upstairs, you know, once everybody was in bed, and I had a computer upstairs, and I would just, you know, start, like, just seeing, you know, I just started writing and seeing if it, how it would come out. And it was so funny. I was doing that for a while. And then my husband got out of bed one night. He came and he was like, are you having an online affair? What are you doing? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, no. I was like, weirdo. I was like, what? It's, you know, it's... and I was like, I'm trying to write a book. And he was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not cheating on you, goofball. I was like, I'm trying to write a book. And so he was like, wow, you could totally do that. And I was like, well, I don't know. And so it was kind of, so I had been writing for a long time. And honestly, before I got started as a print journalist, I worked at my college as an editor, like, and I was editing like courses with professors and stuff. So I kind of had a background already. And so it wasn't quite as hard for me to make the move to books. Books are longer. And that was my biggest fear, was like, I'm used to writing really short stuff, you know, because newspaper articles are really short, you know, usually. I wasn't writing those big, long magazine pieces like you'll get in some magazines like the New Yorker or whatever. I was writing, you know, regular sized. And so for me, the hardest part was pacing, because I would try to tell everything in the first five chapters, you know? And so I had to like learn to bring the story out, to like make the story. And so that took a while. That probably took 3 or 4 books before I could just sit down and like slow down, you know, and like set the scene and not, you know, like give it all away, you know, because that's how good journalism is. Good journalism is like, you should only have to read the first 3 paragraphs to know, you know, you don't bury the lead, which is a journalism term, which means you put the most important part of the story at the end, which is kind of the exact opposite for books, because you don't put the main, you know, right at the beginning, you like drag it out. And or you build to it, you know, you build to it. So that's kind of how it happened. It took me a little, it took obviously time. I mean, for me to like the mechanics of like how to use grammar and how to, you know, put together a scene and stuff I had, but it was kind of like the whole process of developing that, you know, and not rushing, you know, to the end, you know? And so that was the biggest thing, but, you know, but it's just like anything, writing is a craft. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And it's like, you learn hopefully from what didn't work in, you know, and as you, you know, work with editors and readers and beta readers and all that, you get, you know, you kind of, you know, you build your skills, yep. Like, you know, doing anything like that, like being an artist, you get better as you do it, you know, the more you do it. So
I love that.
And you're right. It's building skills. It's yeah. Never a, okay, I've learned everything I have to learn. Now yeah. I'm just going to do. It's always.
Well, and you challenge yourself to learn new ways of doing things too. Like, you know, kind of trying different things that maybe don't always work, but sometimes, you know, you try little different techniques and stuff, you know, to keep it fresh. So anyway.
Cool.
So bringing it back to Twist a little bit, because we want people to, you know, have some information so they'll go read it. You should go read it anyway, because it's
fun
and amazing. Going back to that, Susie, you had a question about the writing process for that.
What was your favorite scene to write?
My favorite scene. There were so many fun scenes in there. Okay. The scene that had me the most excited was when Pinky hit her home run. Did I just spoil that? I'm sorry. It's not really a spoiler. Okay. Because they were already like talking about her, but that whole part of her playing baseball and just being a natural baseball player, I just thought was so funny because she's just, you know, so determined. And I was a little bit, I'll be honest with you, I based that character a little bit on my daughter and a little bit on myself, because as a child, I was the only girl in, like, I had an older brother and he had all his friends and they would let me play, but I didn't understand that I was 3 years younger than them. That's a lot, you know, three yeah. years, which is kind of the age difference between Owen and Pinky and yeah. the boys, because they're 8 and she's turning 5. So it's about the same. And my mom would always be like, I'd look up and you'd be gone. And I'd be like, you know, when I was like 4 or 5, and she was like, I could not keep you. She's like, you always thought you could just keep up with them, go wherever they wanted. And I was like, well, and so I kind of remembered that instinct to just try to be as big as they were and, like, you know, as good at whatever they were doing as they were. So maybe Pinky was sort of my revenge of not being as good as they were, you know. So I let her be a little superstar when it comes to baseball anyway. But anyway, so, and I have a lot of little cousins. I was like, my dad was the oldest of his siblings by a lot, and so by like 10 years. And so when I was like 9 or 10 or something, I started, my aunts and uncles started having kids. So I got to spend my teenage years watching them, and they had a, you know, a bunch of little kids, and we were always together and just watching all their little personalities. They all pop up in my book. Like, where do your little kids come from? I'm like, trust me, that was a pain in the neck. This one would, one of them went through a so phase where anything you said to her, she would say, so, oh, and I tell you what, you just want to strangle her. And I'm like, you know, so I have all these little kids in my head, and I'm like,
whatever,
little kids, because little kids, you know, and I, you know, it's like some people are like, you know, you really write little kids good. And I'm like, because I was like, grew up with them, and they, you know, they like, they don't talk baby talk, and they think they're as big as you are, and they're bossy, and, you know, some of them are very sweet, don't get me wrong, some are very sweet, but some of them, a lot of them are not. And we had a lot of personalities in my family growing up, as you can imagine. So it was fun. So that was one of my favorites, because she was just so funny. Although I really liked writing her interactions with Jessica a lot too, because she and Jessica were just not gonna, that was just not gonna happen. And it was really fun to have them button heads, because I was like, yeah, she is not, they are just not, that ain't gonna work out.
She was, it was not having it.
Nope. Like, so that was your favorite part to write. What was the least favorite part to write?
Ugh, I always hate hurting my characters. So, you know, it's always that part where you have to write it. I mean, they have to not, they can't just be happy and skip, you know, into the sunset. There has to be a conflict. And so I always hate that part when they're like, when somebody gets hurt and there's crying and, you know, and they're like going to sleep by themselves and wishing somebody would come upstairs and talk to them. Yeah. And they don't. And so, you know, it's just, yeah, those are always the hardest. I always take the longest to write those. And then I usually have to go back and rewrite them because I usually wrote it real fast. So it would get over with real fast. And I'm like, okay, go back and add some details. Let's make it a little more, you know, in depth. And so those are always the hardest.
I had a funny story that happened recently with an edit where when I edit, I work in Google Docs. So it's kind of a real-time thing where the author yeah. I'm working with can see as I'm working on stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was a lull. And she messaged me and she's like, is everything okay? Because, you know, I just haven't seen you on for a bit. And I was like, I got to that part. And I had to read it through to make sure that everything worked out. I'm like, I know it's going to work out. But I had to read it through. And then I went back to edit it.
Because I had to get to the end and know we made it.
And then I had to get to the end and know who made it so that I could go back. And I'm like, give me like 24 more hours. I'm like right there. And then I went back and went through and edited it because I needed to get through that part.
Got to get them back together.
I can't imagine it's easy for an author to write that and then to sit in it because you immerse yourself in it and then it's like
I
have to immerse myself in the suck. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
It's not fun to immerse yourself in the suck.
I know. And that's what's sad. I usually try to write as fast as I can and then I'm out of it. But then I'm like, no, that ain't gonna work. And so then I have to go back in and revise it and add some details. So
yeah.
Those are always the hardest.
Yeah. So that's why I'm sometimes quiet with my authors and I should warn them. I'm like, okay, I am at the suck. So let me read all the way through and then I'll go back. That's what's going
that's
on.
That's good though. I mean, if you do it right, you know, you really want to hear that everybody was crying.
Yes, or I'm on the edge like of that. My seat and I'm digging my nails into my chair.
It makes you feel any better. I was upset too. We were all upset. And then we got through it together. We all got through it together.
That's another thing is when authors were like, why are you so mean? And I'm like, dude, you made me cry first. So this is payback.
There you go.
So Susie, you had another question. Going back to the writing process.
Do you have a favorite place to write?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, where I'm sitting right now is where I do most of my writing, but sometimes my butt gets tired. So I'm like, ugh. So I also have one of those lap desk things with legs and stuff and I have my laptop. So I write on Google Doc too. And I tell you what, it took me too long to put that together because I had been trying to send the Word doc back and forth between my laptop and my desktop. And you know what? It only takes one time of not doing it right. And you're like, wait a minute, where's that whole chapter that I wrote last night? And it's like, So yeah, it only takes one time. And then one of my author buds was like, why aren't you using the Google Doc? And I was like, or the Google Drive. And I was like, I don't know. Why am I not doing that? So it's just sometimes it's so obvious that you don't see it. But so I'll move around the house. Like sometimes I'll go sit on my bed and I'm always like, you know, my husband will come home and I'll be in bed. I'm like, I'm not under the covers. I'm sitting on top of the bed. It's because my butt got tired. And I'm like writing, you know, because I have my lap desk. And he's like, I didn't say a word. I'm like, I saw you thinking. Have you got out of bed?
Don't judge me.
I got out of bed. I'm fully clothed. I'm not under the covers. I'm just sitting here.
I'm working. Go away.
I know.
Do you have any, any snacks on you while you're writing?
Well, I tell you, I have some chocolate stashed and I'm usually like eating chocolate, which I know not terrible, but it's good. And, you know, I did go through a phase when the girls were little, when I would be eating goldfish all the time, because, you know, I'd make them some goldfish and I'd make me some goldfish because, you know, everybody gets a snack. And so, yeah. So, yeah. Now I just take a break and go eat something. Now I'm like, I need to walk around a little bit anyway. I'm going to go make some lunch.
Yes, I'm like, okay, why do I have to go into the kitchen to get this? I should have a fridge in here. And I'm like, no, if I had a fridge in my office, I would never leave.
I know.
So I get off my ass and go walk around.
Get up and walk around.
Yes.
What's your favorite trope to write? And one that maybe you would never write?
Well, I'll tell you. So my favorite trope to write, I really, 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 I mean, this is a tough one because I love the suspense. I love writing suspense. It's so fun. And it kind of adds an element, you know, where you don't necessarily always have to necessarily break up the main couple when you have that suspense going. And so that's always fun because I hate breaking up the main couple because it makes me sad. But I do love the suspense, but I also really enjoy the single parents, whether it's you know, the dad or the single mom, either way, I like both of them. Because those kids, like I said, I have all these kids in my head and they're all hilarious. And I just love pulling their little personalities in because they're just so much fun. They add so much, you know, and they're usually, little kids always know what's going on, whether you think they do or not, as we all know.
Yeah, they do.
If you've had kids, you know, they always know everything. So, so that's fun. So I like doing that. Now, as far as what I don't like or never want to write, and that's probably, I'm not a real super dark writer. I have friends who write super dark and they'll like send me their books to read sometimes. And it's like one time one of them sent me one and it had like a rape in it. And I was like, no, I don't want to read this. And so I don't really like super duper dark, like super duper dark. Like I'll read, you know, I'll read some dark stuff, but I don't like it when it gets just really, I mean, it has to be really well done. And even that book, I put it in the freezer for a little while and then I came back to it and finished it and it ended up really well. I loved how it ended, but just getting through those scenes, I think my imagination's too a little too vivid. And like I can't read Stephen King. If I try to read Stephen King, I'm like, I can't sleep at night because I'm convinced that whatever he wrote is coming to get me because it's just too vivid. Like I can just see it too much. And that's saying that's because they're such good writers. I mean, they're such
talented. I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're too vivid. And it's like, I can't read that because I see it too well. And so I guess if it was something I wouldn't want to write, it would be like horrifying dark. So sorry, but I love haunted. I love Halloween and I love haunted houses, but I just can't read that.
There's a difference in spooky and sinister.
Just very upset. Like I don't listen to true crime podcasts. I tried because I love podcasts, and one of my daughter's friends was like, "You've got to listen to this true crime podcast. It's so good." And I tell you what, I got two episodes into it, and I was like, "Whoop, off, unsubscribe." I was like, "I can't listen to that. I'll never leave the house again."
Right, exactly.
I didn't know that was even possible to happen. I didn't know you could die like that. I'm like, oh my God. I know, right? I was like, why did you tell me to listen to that? Now it's in my head. I was like, yeah. So I know.
If it's on Criminal Minds, I can pretend it's not a real thing, right? So if I read it like that or watch it like that, I'm like, it's not a real thing. But then it's true crime and you're like, oh shit, that really happens.
I know.
I don't need to know that information.
I was like, I can't do that. I get too into it. And then it's like terrible stuff. And then I'm like leaving the house and like, I couldn't even go for a jog. I was like going for a jog and I'm like looking all around. I'm like, what if somebody sneaks up behind me and gets me? I'm like, who wants me? I'm like having to talk myself out of it. Like, who wants to deal with you? I mean, seriously. And so I was like, you know, I've got my phone in my hand, you know, I'm ready to hit the panic button if anything happens. Anyway, yeah. So
my husband has always said if somebody took me, they would bring me right back with an
apology.
They
bring you back.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm like,
who wants to? I'm a lot. Apparently. I'm a lot. And you know what? He loves every minute of it, but nobody else would.
You know, sorry. Makes us special. It makes us special.
That's what my kids would say. You're so special. Like, I don't think you mean that the way I think you're meaning it. But
I do.
I ask all the authors, if you had one piece of advice to give to a new romance author based on your journey, 10 years of this adventure, what would it be?
Two. I saw that and I actually have two. Number one was my biggest mistake, which I think, I don't know if we talked about this off air or on air, how I was talking about, I wasn't really sure what was going to happen when I wrote One to Hold. And, I think I just talked about that. Anyway, I didn't think it was going to do as well as it did. So I didn't prepare, like I didn't have a newsletter set up. I didn't prepare to capture all of those readers who were in love with it and wanting more from me. So my biggest mistake I would tell every author, even if you think, okay, I'm just doing this for a lark, just to see what happens. Probably nothing's going to happen. It's probably just going to go, you know. So even if you think that's going to happen, just to be safe, set up your newsletter and have a link in the back of your book to get those readers, because One to Hold sold so many copies. And I didn't set up a newsletter until probably the third book in that series or the fourth book in that series, a really dumb amount of time. So that's the first bit of information. You've got to be able to get in touch with people who love your books. So, and they want more of your books. So you're not bothering them. Set up your newsletter. So that's my first piece of advice. That was a big mistake I made right in the beginning. But the second kind of moderately sized mistake, probably, I don't know, is stay in your lane. Melanie Harlow has a great talk about staying in your lane. Don't give them cake when they want spaghetti, or no, reverse that. Don't give them spaghetti when they order cake. And, you know, so it's like the promise that you make to readers. Like for me, my promise to readers is that I'm going to give you this type of a book. And so readers come to me wanting that type of a book. And if you switch it up too much and like try to write, you know, like something very off brand, you are going to lose readers. And it's also going to confuse readers, going to be like, who are you? So you really need to identify who you are as an author, and like it or not, you got to stay in your lane. It's sort of like bringing up Stephen King again. He was like, I can't write small town mystery. I mean, he's like, pirate books. He's like, I could, but I'd have to like change, you know, I'd have to start a pen name, which I think he did. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, Stephen King is a horror writer. He's a horror fiction writer and he's good at it. And that's all he's ever done, right? He is the prime example. Readers know when he releases a book, what they're going to get. And he gives them what they want. And that's why he's so successful. It's because you find your readers and then you build from there. And so that was the second thing that I played around in genres a little bit, kind of in the middle of my career, because I kind of got bored. You know, I was like, I'm bored with this. I want to try writing this. And it's like, you know, you lose readers when you do that. And readers kind of like, they look at your backlist and they're like, what? And so, you know, find who you are and just, that's what you do. And all of your branding should look alike. All of your books, you know, need to match so that people know what they're getting. Because like it or not, I mean, you are a human, but you're also, you're a brand, you know, you're a type of book. And so, you know, it's one of those things that it took me a while to internalize, but I'm doing a much better job with it now. And it shows, I mean, it shows in, you know, in your career that you do better if you stay who you are. And if you really, really die in to write that whatever super off-brand science fiction fantasy novel, just come up with a pen name and do it. Yes. But realize you're gonna, if you write it as, you know, like if Melanie Harlow wrote a dystopian urban fantasy, everybody'd be like, what? So you have to stay in your lane. So that's kind of the smartest. And I just kind of internalized that a couple years ago. So anyway, but you know, but pretty much all my stuff is pretty, it's the same thing, but you know, I kind of had a couple of diversions off of that and I've stopped doing that basically.
And that is the beauty of pen names. I mean, I think one of the amazing things about the industry itself is that there's so much variety and you can create a pen name, because if your brain is like, I can't keep traveling in this direction, I need to take a detour. Right. Creating that pen name allows you to create a new brand. It allows you to create a new audience. It allows you to use that creative side of yourself to say, hey, I have more in here than just, but right. I know my readers and I know this is what they're looking for. So if I promise them cake and I give them spaghetti, they're going to be confused and probably a little pissed off.
Yeah.
They might love the spaghetti. But if they're not in the mood for it, okay. So for me, okay, this is the funniest thing. We had this the other night at dinner, this conversation. It's like when you pick up a drink and you think it's iced tea and it's Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And you love Coca-Cola, but you were not expecting the fizz and the sweet. And all of a sudden you're like, not what I wanted.
You're Ted Lasso. You spit it everywhere. I know.
Like, right. Exactly.
Right. Every time he got that sparkling water, he spit it all over the place. Anyway.
So there's a time and a place, and I can love both, but if I'm expecting small town romance and I get mafia
right
dark,
I know what
I'm be a little
where
confused
am I,
and yes so yeah. So what's next on the radar for you? What's coming up next?
Well, next is A Little Luck, obviously. You know, we have A Little Taste was Aiden, the oldest brother, and A Little Twist was Alex, the second brother, and then A Little Luck will be Adam, the youngest brother. They all have A names because that's what their mom did anyway. But I am their mom. No,
their
I'm just
mom's
kidding. That's what their mom did. And so she gave them all A names. But so Adam is up next. Adam and Piper, they're coming December 14th. That one's going to be a little more angsty. It might have a little suspense. There's an element in it because it's got a subplot in it, which is her mother, who we know up to this point as a doomsday prepper. I just love Martha. I cannot wait. So I'm as invested in Martha's subplot as I am in Piper and Adam getting together.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And, I know it's going to be so much fun. I swear. And so I've got that's coming in December, and then I'll have one more book in that series after that. And then I'm wanting to do the next gen. I'm so excited about having a next generation series. Cause like I said, I've got all these awesome kids and yeah. I want to grow them up and their personalities and have them like, you know, getting with the guys and getting the boys and girls. And I'm so excited about it. I just am so excited. But anyway.
And you know, I love one of the elements of this series is that it's the three brothers and the three best friends.
Yeah.
And I love that element of that connection where it's like a full circle type of thing. So right. Having the next gen with the kids where it's bringing another layer together, I think it's just really cool. So we have our random this or that questions. Okay. And then we have something special right at the end of that before we say goodbye. But we're going to do our 10 questions first. So just a this or that. You don't have to think too hard. Julie, you're up first.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee. I don't like tea.
Bad haircut or bad hair dye?
Ooh, that's interesting. That's a good one. I've had both. probably dye, because you can fix dye, but if you got a bad haircut, you gotta wait for that to grow out. I tried to cut bangs one time.
Don't do it.
Let somebody talk you out of it. Don't do it at 10 o'clock at night like I did. And I was like, ooh, I'm gonna cut me some bangs. Oh God, it was so bad.
Hard rock. Yeah. Hard rock or country?
Oof. Now, when we say hard rock, what are we thinking?
not Metallica.
Here's the thing. All right. So I've got a funny story there. I know we're supposed to be going quick. When I was in college, I was security at the concert stadium at the college that I went to. And at that time, Metallica had their Black Album was out and they were touring the Black Album. So I was security at their concert. Basically, they gave me a flashlight and said, if you see anybody climbing, shine the flashlight on them, tell them to get down. If they don't get down, find somebody else. Don't do anything.
Yep.
I basically was just going around going, get down, get down. But no, by the middle of that concert, I'm up on the balcony going, yeah, with like, such a good concert.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a killer concert. I'm going to be honest with you. It was so good. And then I was a Metallica fan after that. So, you know, and my husband has convinced me that country music is good because he grew up in a small town and he loves country. So he's always playing it. So I've kind of gotten to where I like it. So that's a hard one, man. I don't know. Both. Can I say both? Are you going to kill me?
Sure.
You can have
both. We'll allow it. Yes.
You will allow it.
And we'll table the conversation for our next dinner.
Exactly.
Yes.
I know.
Susie, you're up.
Beach or mountain vacation?
Beach. Come on.
Plan ahead or live in the moment?
Okay. So it used to be live in the moment, but now that I've gotten older, I tend to plan a little more because I understand the benefit of planning now. So I'm a little more of a planner than I used to be.
Because I'm a morning person or night owl?
Night owl. Ugh, mornings.
Cookies or cake?
Probably cake. Yeah, I'll go with cake.
Vanilla or chocolate?
Chocolate. Come on. Blah. Vanilla.
Draft or edit?
Edit. Drafting is so hard. Oh God. Edit.
Kindle or paperback?
You know, Kindle. I never would have believed I'd say that, but Kindle.
It's love so it convenient. Because
I know it's just right there.
I can take 20 books on vacation with me on my Kindle. I can't do
that.
Well,
and now my hand cramps when I'm holding a paperback on a little delicate flower, right? But my hand, I'm like holding that book and I'm like, God, this is so heavy. This book is killing me to death. Anyway.
And paperbacks for me are my little treasures. So like everybody knows, I love getting signed paperbacks and they sit on the wall. And speaking of, so Tia sent me this.
Yes, I did.
And we're going to do a giveaway with this. So this is a little twist, and it's not just a book. I'll just put pictures up, but it's a signed. You probably can't even see that because my lighting's
up. There it is.
Signed paperback and some goodies to go with it. So
nice
bag to go with. So keep an eye out. There it goes. Keep an eye out on the socials, on the Brazen socials. And we will be putting this up for someone who has watched the podcast, and we'll have to put something in there, like a little test, little question to say if they actually watched it or not. So we'll have to think of something to put up there. But keep an eye out on the socials when this premieres, when it comes out on YouTube, and we'll post the links everywhere. And we'll do a giveaway, gift away for the book and the swag of A Little Twist by Tia Louise. Thank you, Tia, so much for sending that.
And I can't wait for us to give thank that you. To someone.
And thank you for being with us today. And this was so much fun. I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, oh my God, that was a lot longer than I thought it was, because it was so much fun.
Very chatty. Thank you all so much for having me. It was a blast. I had such a good time chatting with you guys.
Again. You are welcome. Anytime. Anytime.
As always.
Anytime. And the next time we see, we'll tackle hug you, because I miss you.
So awesome.
So thank you so, so much for joining us today. And hang tight for just a sec, because after we say goodbye, we'll chance to chat for just an extra second. But
okay. Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.